So he's got that going on, plus throwing in the deep end with intimacy and love. Where are you again? Montana? Is that right, Nick?
Vermont.
Vermont. That's right. Okay, so who's next with their chicken?
I'll
Betsy.
I am diving into my writing, and that is hard but satisfying.
Cool. Awesome.
I'm
Sue?
diving into my writing, and that is hard but very satisfying.
Cool.
I'm excited. Sorry to copy you, Betsy.
Okay, Erin, how are you doing today? How are you
I'm
coming?
doing fine. I am so consumed with integrating into my new old company, new slash old company, and figuring out what is going on, in the corporate culture and in the opportunities, and also like trying to get some billable hours in. So that's very much where I'm at. But I'm fine. It is not raining in this moment. And I've done no writing recently, but I would love to. So I'm going to take some inspiration from that.
Cool. Cool. Well, I'm really pleased to see all your faces and looking forward to just building some warmth sculpture here for the next 50 minutes together. So let's see how we go. Okay, so what I'm getting out of this is, culture, relationships, boundaries, grounding, creativity. Is there anything else that you guys can add in terms of questions or thoughts or feelings that you'd like to talk about today?
I would like to follow up on what we talked about last week, the sort of
Resiliency.
developing a so sorry, Louisa.
Resiliency.
Yes, thank you. Thank you that. And just to touch in on whether any of us have been able to work with any of the practice, like particularly maybe the peace meditation, and just hear what's going on.
Great. Okay, so we're going to touch in. Let's touch in with that first. Who was not here last week? I think you all were here last week. Is that right? Nick, you were here last week? Yes. Okay, so let's first touch in about resiliency and the little practices that we talked about, and we can also build on that. I have my step-by-step exercises right in front of me. And then let's see if we want to talk about, if we have time, maybe we can talk about relationships, just in recognition of Nick's being deep in it, and we can all relate to the mess of intimacy and love. We could do that. How does that sound?
Great.
Okay, cool. So, do you guys have any reflections, any experiences, any questions that have come up for you since we talked last week?
I have loved the meditation, the practice, whatever you might call it. Drawing in peace, finding that place in nature, working to send out little concentric circles of peace and bring them back in. It will be a challenge to detach that from breath. But there have been times when I have been successful, and I gained so much from the practice. And I have had a much calmer week internally, having that grounding to be in.
That's really awesome. That's really quite amazing. Can you tell me a little bit more about when you, so the struggle between the breath and the imagination of the concentric circles, what was that like?
Well, like, I think it was Nick who said last week that breath work is so much a part of my meditation practice. I'm aware of my breath. It's mm-hmm. Part of yoga. So mm-hmm. It'll just take some time and effort to detach the imagination of concentric circles going out with an inhale, which feels very natural, and coming back with an exhale. but again, I feel up to the challenge, and I understand the intent, the right. intention that is right. behind that,
right.
and the value. Because you certainly, you know, sometimes our breath, when we get anxious, can shorten. Mm-hmm. And we don't want our circles to be tied like this. We want our circles to go out and come back.
Yeah. And also, I think it's important to have a visceral experience of how you can actually impact your body without having to do it through the body. You can do it through the mind and the feelings. And this is important information, because as you get more advanced in your meditation practices, if you are focused on the body as a part of your meditative practice, it will limit you. You can only get so far that way. And what we want to do is realize that the body always follows the soul. It is not the soul. It is the vessel in which you, as a spiritual being having a physical experience, resides. And so there's something lawful about your body and instinctive connected to nature. But it's kind of like the gods gave you half of it, and the other half is up to you to cultivate and develop. And that's what meditation is for. If that makes sense. So those are some pictures to help you understand that we don't want to, from the outset, be limited by the bodily capacity. We want to grow beyond that. And anxiety that you experience in the body, if you can have an experience of calming your nervous system with your mind, then you have agency.
This is tricky for me because I feel. Sorry.
Is that your dog?
That's not my dog, but I love the idea. This is tricky for me because I feel like in the last couple of years I have received so much teaching around like somatic experiencing, mm-hmm. and. Mm-hmm. And trying to, like, when I am in mental chaos, trying to like find that feeling or find a physical sensation to sort of bring myself down out of my head.
Yeah.
So I'm like hearing what you're saying and also, you know, like kind of struggling to juxtapose the two.
It's not it's not about right and wrong. It's not like, oh, it's wrong to somatically calm yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about realizing that it's in your feeling life that there's chaos. So that's mm-hmm. where we intervene. Mm-hmm. But the feeling life, you can't directly intervene, especially because feelings come and go and they take over.
Mm-hmm.
Where you actually have the highest degree of agency is in your thinking life. So you mm-hmm. begin in your thinking life. That's why we use the word peace, and that's why we use imaginative pictures to create something in the feeling life that you have some agency over. And as mm-hmm. you work in your feeling life, your body will follow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I finally found a neutral place, Louisa. We had talked about this before, how I struggled to find a neutral place. It's actually like the little Zen garden thing in that cedar bath place that you and Jeff directed me to.
Yeah.
which is like super neutral and great. So I've been doing the practice, and like all of my meditation practices, like I'll be, sort of thinking about the peace in my concentric circles, and then my life will come riding in on a herd of horses, mm-hmm. and then I'll be like stuck up there for a while, and I'll be like, oh, back to the peace.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. But it's nice. Because it's raining so much, and because there's sort of a water feature involved in my place that I go in my head now, I feel like I've been really supported by the auditory cues around me. And I know that, like, I ideally want to, well, I don't know, maybe there's no ideal. Maybe it's fine that the sound of rainfall is peaceful in the morning when I'm doing this meditation. But
beautiful, beautiful. Yep. Yes. So nature is full of lawful experiences. Like in nature is still at one with the Godhead, right? So it's full of these lawful movements that is that teaches the soul what a lawful movement feels like. So that's why I hope the crowing roosters outside aren't too annoying. Can you hear them?
No, it's great. It's great.
We have so many roosters. They're all leaving on Friday, Saturday, so enjoy it while you can.
Leaving.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means they're going to be eaten by someone.
Soup.
Yeah, soup. Anyway, so, you know, that's why nature is so supportive, because of that lawful movement, as we all, I'm sure, already instinctively feel and know. So anyone else have some experiences of working with those meditations from last week?
I do.
Yeah? Sue, and then we'll do Nick after Sue.
It was amazing. I'm in a totally different place.
Really?
Than last week.
Wow.
I started with the peace work, and I was successful a few times to do it with my imagination, and sort of forget my breath, because I've been trying to differentiate those two things for a while. But I just began to notice my distance from the chaos. It didn't wane. It's just stayed really steady. And I find myself really joyful about that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. How about you, Nick? How are you doing with that?
You know, I think I missed the part, but I've been trying to visualize the nature, and I've actually been really struggling with, I find myself like obsessing over like trying to actually like see it with my eyes, and I find myself, I've like been swapping. Well, I've also been in nature, and then I'm like, should I be just enjoying this nature or envisioning other nature? My mind just like is, I don't know, for whatever reason, I was, even with the phenomenology stuff, like I get really frustrated not being able to see it. Like, I guess maybe it's just like I'm caught up just even in like the logistics of what it means to see it in your mind's eye. Like,
right.
And so then I'll like bounce between different nature scenes to try and like, maybe this one will be easier. Since the ocean waves, I'm like, I can't get the waves. And then it's harder than breathing.
Right. Yes. Okay, so So part of the reason for the instructions that they are sort of as vague as they are is so that you struggle in just this way. And finding what it is that work. Can you hear me all right? Because your internet is a bit... Nick, can you hear me okay? Okay, good.
Yep.
You were sort of cutting in and out, but I think I got it. So part of it is the struggle and finding out what works for you and where you can find a little juice. So, and it's all really good intel about what you're needing. So can I just ask you, when you, did you try to ground yourself first? I can't remember if we talked about that last week. Did we talk about grounding?
I think we did.
No. Okay. Okay. So a part of preparation for going into, that will help set you up for more focus and more success is just letting yourself be grounded first. And that looks like, you know, and sitting outside, I think if you can, would be really fantastic. So that you can imagine yourself, just feel your body in the seat and try to be warm and well hydrated so that you're not distracted. And then you probably have your own little grounding practices, but just feel down into the ground deep. And as you feel your feet on the ground and you're sending your feeling of groundedness down into the earth, it is instantly very presence. You get very present. And there's an interesting, we talked about this last week, this video about the hawk. The gentleman who owns the hawks, he walked around for 6 months with stones in his shoes to help connect him to the ground, because he couldn't do it, and he had to practice that. So just something as simple as using, again, your imagination to imagine yourself. I actually use a golden thread. I find that a very rich imagery, which I really enjoy. Grounding myself down deep into the earth. Do that first. And that can then help to focus your thoughts. And then the next thing I would say is sometimes we are good at visualizing things, and sometimes we're better at feeling rather than visualizing. So we're all a bit different in this regard. So Nick, do you struggle with visualizing actual pictures in your imagination, or is it just in this particular case that you're struggling with that?
I guess it's like when I try to imagine things, it's always kind of like a composite. Like I guess I don't see it like perfectly clearly, but I see and feel it. So I guess maybe I just get caught up in like, I can't like see a perfect image. Until I get it.
So you couldn't hear that last bit. So you get caught up in wondering if you're seeing it perfectly. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you're worried about whether you're doing it right or not?
Probably.
Okay. So that's good intel because you're getting frustrated and worried that you're not doing it right. Yeah? So there's not really a wrong way to do this. And you're on a hunt to find what is a way that works for you. So let's say you go through the grounding part of it. Let me just get how I wrote it out. That's sort of like the first step. And then let's say you're sitting in nature. Can you hear me, Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I turned out my video to see if my audio is better.
That is so much better. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So then you're imagining yourself in nature, and then the third step is to think the word peace or rest, depending on which one. Okay. So the idea here is that you're you're doing a number of things simultaneously. One of them is you're feeling your groundedness, and then you're imagining yourself in this peaceful environment, and then you're imagining the word you're saying the word peace, and you're imagining a feeling of peace in your body or in your soul, so to speak. So it's a real concentration exercise to try and simultaneously hold these elements. And you actually can't do it, quite honestly. It's not really possible to think of three things simultaneously. You sort of go from one to the next, and then you check back in. Am I grounded? Yes, I'm grounded now. Okay, and what about the net? Okay, I'm in this beautiful, natural, peaceful scene, and now I'm like imagining this concentric circles going out, and then they're coming back in as I say the word peace again, and you're trying, the word is trying to hold all these imaginative elements. And the key here is not if you succeed. Success is not the aim of the game. The aim of the game is that you try. Because being good at something happens at the end of a lot of practice, not at the beginning. And Jeff has to come over and
I just have a practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, so this is just a practice point on these meditations, that although you can't think three like different thoughts at the same time, like they're nouns, right? It's almost like trying to be three different objects, you know? You can, and we'll get to this in module three, you can make each one into a verb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so so this place in nature has a kind of being, or it's like an active verb. It's not just a place, it's being itself. So it's you know, a stream is streaming, or a tree is treeing. And what you can do is you can smash these verbs together. So you can have the streaming of the stream and the treeing of the tree, and you can compound these into one complex verb. The treeing, streaming, or whatever that place is, because in nature it's all happening at once. And so this impression of the treeing, streaming, rippling, breathing, you know, you kind of compress these all into one mood, one streaming being reality with many facets. So you kind of boil it down in your imagination, and it's easier, or it's possible, to hold this complex whole if it's more of a verb, more of a movement and a being, than it is like a fixed idea. And that's actually, we're going to work with that a lot in module three, because you move from object thinking and fact and like concept to the activity of thinking, and the holding or the thinking is more important than the thing that you're holding, the contours of the idea.
Because that takes you back into the experience of a living thinking, instead of a thatting.
Right. And ultimately in these meditations, it's the bringing to life these moods. It's the activity. It's like, it's not the weight, it's the lifting of the weight, right? It's not the concept, it's the thinking of the concept. It's the thinking activity that changes the quality of your imagination concentration.
Cool.
So we'll get to that in module three, but it's just a practice tip.
Awesome. Thank you. That's pretty advanced, but that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, but if you're taking people through these meditations and all these things are confusing, then they can just sort of bring them all into one motion.
Right.
Imaginatively. And it tends to settle down like a layered cake or something.
Right. Okay. Cool. Awesome.
For what it's worth.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm in and out. I'm over there just crunching on the module video one.
But he's listening in.
I'm obviously.
Right. Okay.
Anyway.
Cool. We like it that you're crunching on module two.
All right. So any questions about that? Was that helpful?
Yeah.
Yeah. It, interestingly, frustration, I started just imagining shooting a root out of my tailbone into the ground. So, and that actually worked fairly awesome. Well. So I wonder awesome. If maybe I was also just trying to, I was imagining the beach with like moving waves and I was getting, like, that's where I, there's a place that is peaceful to me, but in my mind it was like maybe more complex. So maybe it was just like the complexity of it and I could just start smaller.
Yes.
I don't know if this is in any way helpful, but Nick, I've been struggling my way through this practice for a while now, like, I don't know, a long time, but coming in and out of it. But I went through a period where I, like, where you were, what you're describing, like, that's completely familiar. And I tried something that actually came from a woman who I know who is a Reiki master. And she had been offering up a teaching around, like, basically, like, sitting in an egg of light. And for a while, that was the place that I needed to experiment with, was essentially, like, this kind of amethyst egg was the phrase that she kept using. She was talking, you know, like, energetically, but like an amethyst egg, or, and it had a golden grounding light, and it had a sort of white crown. But that, for a little while, that was all I could handle when I was trying to do the peace thing, because when I did the beach or the whatever, it was either too active or it had some real life association that was messing me up. So maybe, I don't know if that's good advice, but maybe that is something to toy with.
Yeah, that is helpful. And listening to you, I also struggle, like, I start to, like, imagine myself, like, in this space. Like, I'm trying to see myself there, too, and then I get caught up in that. But then, like, should I just be looking at the space as I see it out of my own eyes, or am I, like, I don't know. Just obviously, I think stuff is coming up.
Can you say that last sentence again? Because you're cutting out. Just say that last bit again, Nick.
Is it obviously it feels like some OCD detail stuff is coming up for me, like controlling the image. Let go.
So yeah. Familiar.
So I would say that, and again, this is good intel because it gives us some insight into the doubt. So OCD type experiences are about self-doubt. You're doubting yourself. You're doubting if you're doing it right. And there's a sort of a self-reinforcing loop that can be very frustrating and get in the way. So what we're on the hunt for, Nick, with you is finding your way in, just like Aaron was describing, finding your way in a way support that can best support your particular needs around getting to a place of calm that enables you to be certain about what you're doing, if that makes sense. So,
that touched something I'm trying. So that's definitely.
Okay, good. So, I find it so interesting that meditation being at the heart of our practice, both on working on our shadow and on strengthening the light. Because in the meditation practice, the things that come up that get in the way, they become amplified information about what exactly has been holding us back in life. And Nick, your struggle here is one I think that we're all familiar with. I know I am, and Aaron is too. And it's just really good intel, and it's just good. Like I want to confirm for you that your experiences are shared, and it's very normal to when you start on these particular kinds of practices that these kinds of experiences tend to come up. So that's why I say it's a hunt for the right way in, And I use the word hunt in a very specific context, and that's in the context of creativity. So you have a kind of a creative challenge in front of you, which is, okay, how do I set up in the right way for me to support me into the meditative space? You know, and so that is a hunt, that is a creative hunt. So I'm just going to pause there for a minute, Nick, and just check in with you what's coming up in you.
Yeah, I guess what's coming up, actually, it's, I think now just emotions around these conversations that I've been having with Tasha, and just I feel like I get stuck trying to tune into what she would want me to say. And mm-hmm. so it's like, I don't trust myself.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And like, it's so, I'm watching it in like slow motion, just like, oh my God.
Right. Yeah, I think we can all relate to that.
Oh my You're God. Not alone.
Do you guys have any reflections, Betsy? Yep. Betsy, you have some thoughts to share?
Well, it's so I'm not in relationship with anyone, but one of the downfalls of my marriage was that I lost my unique voice in shape-shifting constantly to try to be who I thought he wanted me to be. And that certainly was not the only problem, but that was one that I can take full responsibility for. And the writing that I'm doing, trying to start this blog, is so hard because it requires me to have that voice that is mine and only mine, and not tied to pleasing or reflecting or projecting that of anybody else's. And that is absolutely critical, foundationally for me in moving forward in having a relationship at some point, whenever that opportunity rises. So the work that you're doing while in a relationship is hard, but what a blessed opportunity to have that and to be conscious of it and have group support in the process of doing the inner work so that you can be as true and beautiful as you are in relationship to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's well said, Betsy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's beautifully said.
I really get where you are.
Mm-hmm. What hard yeah. work to do, honey.
Thank you. For context, we're really just getting to know each other. I mean, I've known this woman for 4 years, and I'm telling her my feelings that I've had for 4 years. And so, but I realized
that doesn't make it any. Doesn't make it any easier. It's the vulnerable position. It's the vulnerability that is rich. I mean, it's like organic, biodynamic soil. It's rich with possibility.
Yeah. I'm
and
a lot.
Super stressful. Very emotionally
yeah.
stressful.
I think
you have a lot riding on this in your heart. You were talking to us about this last week too.
Yeah. And I think I'm like, so much of my story has been like wanting to attract her that like I don't actually know how to like be with her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you a cute story? So I listened to this podcast of a Belgian therapist, very famous. Her name is Esther Perel. Have you heard of her?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I love her, yeah.
Yeah. Did you, have you heard the story about the Canadian couple? And the woman is like, I want to have an intimate relationship with this man, but he's just so like, you know, he just doesn't know how to like be with me. And then it was revealed that he speaks French fluently. And when he speaks French to her, he kind of takes on this French alter ego and he's completely confident, completely attractive, and she just loves it. She can't speak a word of French, but if she could, she would have him speaking French to her all day long. But
it's like a fish called Wanda.
Yeah.
As soon, remember that movie?
Yes. And as soon as he starts speaking English, he loses all of his confidence and his attractiveness. Mm. This is really frustrating. Mm. And so Esther Perel was like, just speak French to her. Because when you speak French, you give yourself permission to be selfish, to be self-involved, to be... to not care, you know, not selfish in a bad way, but selfish as in my needs matter here. My voice is important. So when I say that, it's a really cool therapy session. If you guys ever are interested in listening to the first season of Esther Perel's podcast, it's called Where Should We Begin?
Mm.
Anyway. It's truly wonderful.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
So yeah, thank you. That's really, really helpful.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I just feel like I don't have, like I've given my power away.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And why do you do that?
That's a great question.
Do you journal?
A little bit, not enough.
Okay, well, a journaling practice...
I've been daily for a while.
Yeah, a journaling practice can be very supportive to help you find your way into why you give away your power and what does taking back your power look like. What would it look like for you to put your needs, your own needs... first instead of last.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, Jeff is telling me to stop shouting. Sorry. Yeah. So any thoughts, any reflections coming up in Betsy, Sue, I haven't heard your voice at all. Do you have any thoughts coming up?
Well, I was relating to Nick's situation and recalling my process, coming to the thought that if someone didn't like me as I am, then it's not a good match. It's not a good fit. So in trying to be myself, I have to forget about pleasing somebody, because the right fit for me is going to like the person I am, the person I truly am, and that's still it's still a struggle at times to just be who I really am, and I have to practice that a lot, saying the thoughts out loud, reminding myself of that, that's where the connection really comes, when two people are themselves with each other. And I don't speak French. I love that story. I'll have to think about what the cues are for me I think that's important for us to know what the cues are. You know, like, it was great that his partner noticed that when he spoke French to her, he was himself. He was, and I don't know what my cues are, but I will be paying attention.
An interesting question to ask of the people near you, if they're observant enough to note that. I wonder. I'm just going to write that down as a question.
Yeah, I was.
What is the question? I had to go let the dog in.
Oh yeah. What the cues are? So that was what Sue was saying. Like, what are the cues that help her? Or actually, Sue, why don't you say it? Because you said it best.
The cues that help me be myself, who help me relax into me. Like the guy speaking French, his partner noticed that he was more confident. He was himself when he was speaking French, and I don't speak French, and I want to know what the cues are for me that help me relax into myself.
Or remind you that you're doubting your, right? So it's the doubt that is the mind killer, or the, I don't know what the right way to put it, that is so undermining, and it's insidious. And OCD is a pathological extreme example. It's in France, it's called the doubting disease. And we actually, in the fourth video of module 2, we actually go into OCD because it has showed up relatively often in my practice, as especially with people who have been through traumatic experiences, especially in their childhood, they will often have mild OCD tendencies. And I actually have yet to see people who've been through traumatic childhood experiences who don't have some OCD tendencies. I'm sure they're out there, but I haven't seen that yet. So it's very interesting, but this doubt is connected to a loss of faith in life, or faith in oneself, trust in life, or trust in oneself. And this is why, if you need another reason, here's a reason why a meditation practice is so important. Because when you go through really difficult childhood, or you could call them adverse childhood experiences, and you don't have a trust in life, because you could say it was taken away by these difficult childhood experiences, you can't, the OCD sufferer and the rest of us who've been through adverse childhood experiences, we look for security and certainty in the world out here. So this is a part of why we try to control circumstances, or we want to know what the other person thinks of us. We constantly want to know if the other person loves us back, or is attracted to us, or if we're okay for them, right? There's a lot of uncertainty there. We cannot actually find certainty out in the world. We can never have that. However, it wasn't going to be there in the first place. So the way we build that certainty is within. The place of certainty is our connection to source. That's where the certainty comes. And that's the healthy place to find certainty. It's not healthy to try and find it in another person, to try and find it in our relationship, to try and find it in the world. There's no way that you ever find certainty in any of those things. And in fact, in a healthy relationship, commitment is not something that you can mandate, that you can demand. You cannot create agreements. I mean, you can try to create agreements around that, but actually, it's like you recommit every single day, and you never live in certainty that you have it. Mm-hmm. And that is partly what keeps a relationship alive. I would know because I've been in a marriage for 20 years, right? And it is now a relatively comfortable place to say, I am not 100% certain that we will always be committed to each other, always be in a marriage. Instead, it's like today we are committed in a marriage. And if we both keep doing our inner work, then tomorrow we'll still be in a 100% committed relationship. But if one of us stops doing our work, then all bets are off.
Hmm.
Right? So the certainty, stop looking for certainty in the world. Stop looking for certainty in relationships. Start building connection to source. So I'm going to pause there and see what your reflections are. What thoughts, questions, anything like that?
I think that's why the peace exercise calmed me so this week, because mm-hmm. I was connecting to source and the rest of it sort of fell away.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like I've strengthened my back somehow. My back feels straighter.
Okay, good.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
There's a sense of certainty that I hadn't thought of that until you used that word. But I'm aware of my back feeling straighter and just being clearer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the certainty of connection to source.
Yes.
Mm.
Anybody else?
Mm. Mostly what's coming up for me is just a real sense of connection and empathy with you right now, Nick, but just among everyone, and a feeling of, you know, not being alone in the challenges of life, which is really exactly what I need, and we probably all need to get out of this relationship with one another. So, but real empathy, Nick, for your moment and your vulnerability and fear and hope, and what I'm sure seems like a tremendous amount of consequence riding on these moments that you're experiencing.
Consequence. Right, the stakes feel high.
Yeah.
Is that true to say, Nick?
Bless you.
Yeah, so I think I've created very high stakes. And I guess also what's coming up for me is just a reminder that like practice means exactly that. Like it's a daily practice.
Yes.
I think I have this pattern of getting into practice and then feeling this like expansive sense of self and this confidence. And like, that's exactly where I was at. I was like, oh my God, I'm just like calling this in. I called this woman up and I like planned this thing and she's saying yes. And like, it's all going, it's in flow. And like in all that movement and excitement, I stopped around. I mean, I was, you know, living in a van outside of my friend's house and then like now in Vermont, and she's got an incredible practice. I mean, she's like the most embodied and hardworking person about this. I think she's just shining like the light on the truth of how incongruent like my words and actions are. But just that reminder that like it's like when you're like riding high, like you gotta keep practicing, because it's like in those moments that yeah, I mean, you know, life's in flow. Like I always have to remind myself, like it's like riding high, you're inevitably gonna ebb, you know, it's coming back down. And then I don't know, I maybe put too much in symbols, like slicing my leg open with an axe. It's kind of like, okay, that's a clear sign of
something. Yes. Yeah, it is a clear sign. So the Marines, the US Marines have a saying. It goes, When the going gets tough, you do not rise to the occasion. You fall back on your training.
Mm.
That's why the daily practice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's good.
Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the Marines. I don't usually thank them for anything, but yeah.
You guys, I'm going to hop off right now. I know it's just a little bit shy of the end, and I'm sorry to leave, but I have to transition into something else, and I need a couple minutes for that. So thank you for your time today.
It's nice to see you, Erin.
Yeah, nice to see you, Sue.
All right, take care.
Special time.
Bye.
Thank you for those kind reflections.
So,
I just want to say, I think you're such a cool person. And if you can be with her like you are with us, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucky girl.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So, so we are coming up toward the end of the hour. So I think I had one more thing to just offer. I just want to circle back to doubt because it's a big one for all of us. Mm. And the thing about in the very beginning during the grounding process of the meditation is that we give ourselves permission to let go just for the time that we're doing the exercise of all of our anxieties and fears and worries and doubts. We're like, for this space of time, I'm not even going to worry about anything. I give myself permission to let it go. I can shoulder it when I'm done with my meditation. But for now, I'm just going to let it all go and not give it room in my soul while I do this practice. And the reason why that is helpful over time, because what it does is help you come to understand, not just in your head, but actually through experience, that you get to choose what you think and what you feel. You don't have to feel anxious, because it sure doesn't help, does it? It doesn't help anything or anyone to feel anxious or afraid. So, what you do is you create a homeopathic dose. And if you know anything about homeopathy, the medicines are created through rhythm. It's all done about rhythm, and it's done through the process of a vortex. And a vortex in water is created through rhythm. It pulses. Water pulses. That's why you see patterns in hurricanes, in rivers, in rocks. The vortex is a pulsing rhythmic movement. And the same law applies in the soul. When you want to create a medicine, you use rhythm, which is why it's a practice, not a one-time thing. And the rhythm happens every day, preferably around about the same time every day. That's how you create the rhythm. And so what then happens, and here's a little mantra, that is that rhythm replaces strength. So if you learn how to use rhythm, it doesn't require such a strong will. You don't have to be like, okay, I'm gonna do my practice. Because if the rhythm helps to carry the momentum. Okay? Mm. So let the practice carry you through your doubt, through your overwhelm, through your fears, through the consequences and the high stakes. Let the rhythm carry you. So I'm going to stop there with my lecturing and let's do a checkout. Your checkout, it can be a couple of feeling words, or it can be just what is the one piece that you're leaving this call with. If you have a couple of minutes to go over time, can we do that?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. cool. Who wants to go first?
You going longer than an hour?
In a couple minutes.
Well, I think I'm leaving the call with a clearer understanding of how to let the peace meditation be alive. Mm. And to breathe as alive, separate from my breath. But I think that's going to help me separate it from my breath better.
Mm.
Be alive. Mm. I like the treeing and the streaming and the and since it's been so useful this week, I now that I've really learned how to do it, or almost learned how to do it, I'm hopeful.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you, Sue.
I think I'm just leaving with renewed enthusiasm for my daily practice. And all kind of like grasping the benefits that can come, the tangible, I don't know, it just feels more tangible. Feels, I don't know, that's good. It.
Okay. Awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you, Betsy. Nick?
Yeah. Likewise. I just feel really grateful. And less alone in this. And feeling very clearly like a renewed desire to really ground into my practice. And that feels much more alive.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And I'm gonna awesome. Be thinking about you, Nick.
Thank you, Sue.
Awesome.
Thank you, all of you. It's been really, really, all of you have given me such good advice, and I feel very seen, and appreciate you all.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much, everyone, and hope to see you next week. And again, if you have any questions or anything, always feel free to drop Jeff and I a line or schedule a call with us or anything like that. Okay?
Okay.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.